when I go into the office and people are like, oh, where are you going on holiday? And I say, I'm going to see Eurovision. They act as if I'm weird. And I ask them, what are you doing at the weekend? And they're like, I'm playing hockey. And I'm like, choice, out of choice. Like, and I'm the weird one.
No one's making it.
Like,
you.
No one is making, it's not a PE class. You don't have to go and play hockey.
Oh, here we go. This is it now. This is getting serious. This is List Envy. My name is Mark Steadman and welcome. This is the podcast where every week I bring on a special guest and together we build a top five list on a topic they choose. Now, I chose the topic this year, but the only person I could think that I wanted to do this with was fourth time if you count the double episode returning guest Kat Turner. My love, as we'll discuss in a bit, my love of Eurovision sort of got reignited in around 2016, and since then I've followed it with ever more interest. And so I thought, you know what, let's start a tradition. Every year now I want us to do a Eurovision final sort of rundown of, you know, what are our top fives, what are the top five best Eurovision songs of the year. And so that's exactly what we're going to be doing. I know I'm sounding echoey today because I'm still in the steel bunker that is my new studio, but I'm pleased to say that this episode was recorded on location. Hopefully you will remember Tom and Kat. So they both appeared. They have both got the same number of appearances so far. But Tom was kind enough to record this episode at their place. So it sounds really good. And that's because of Tom's engineering. So thank you to Tom. And that's it. Like, that's enough ado. Let's get straight into this. I began by asking Kat where her love of Eurovision began.
I feel like it's the kind of thing that creeps up on you.
Yes, yes.
Like, yes. You start casually watching, and it's like, I've never not watched Eurovision every year.
Oh, wow.
Like, I thought that was kind of normal, but then the more I meet, like, actually normal people who aren't in my little bubble, I'm like, oh, that's not normal, watching it every year. So I've always watched it every year. Yep. But then I guess the year before last was when we were in Italy, when Turin was hosting. Mm-hmm. I think that's how you pronounce it.
And I don't think it's how the Italians pronounce it, but I think that's
how I pronounce it.
Yeah, it's how I pronounce it as well. Yeah.
And I don't know, something about that year of watching it in our hotel room and the UK getting so close to winning. Yeah. And for some reason that year, a lot of the songs just stuck with me. And then last year, obviously, it was hosted in the UK and I got to go. And that was just one of the most amazing experiences. Like, I lost my shit when we were in the arena and it counted down. And then I think it was Croatia last year that it was a bunch of guys in leather, and then they brought out a rocket.
Yes.
And the moment the rocket came out from the wings on stage, I lost my mind. I lost my voice because I was screaming so loud that there was a fucking rocket on stage. I was like, what the f? It's a rocket!
guys!
And because that year we were going to the semi-final, I listened to all the songs and stuff like that ahead of time. And then this year the mania has only increased because now we're travelling to Sweden to see it because the tickets were so cheap. And now I've listened to it quite far in advance. So I feel like I've always liked Eurovision, but the last 3 years it's definitely ramped up. I love the fan community around Eurovision, and I love that everyone has their favourites, but I think people are very rarely like horrible about other entries. Not that, you know, that's a common thing, but like, I don't know, it just feels like everyone's really supporting the artists and the other countries and stuff like that, and it just feels very wholesome.
Yes, absolutely. And that's what we need more of.
Yeah.
So with that with that context set, oh, here we go. I'm quite nervous about this one because I feel like I'm gonna get lots of it wrong.
You can't have a wrong favourite.
I've been in WhatsApp conversations with you before, Kat. I think I can.
So, for context, last year, Mark's favourite was Poland.
It wasn't. I don't think it was my favorite, no, but I liked it.
You liked Poland. I did like more Poland,
and I know it was. I know. Yes, I will. I will concede that. That's fine. That's fine. Yeah.
It was too far up your list.
I will absolutely concede that. That's fine. Well, speaking of lists, then what is first on yours?
Okay, my number one is Rim Tim Taggy Dim by Baby Lasagna, Croatia.
They did it again.
But, you know, Croatia are... Last year's entry was so good, and I don't think it got the recognition it deserved.
Mm-hmm.
This year, it is currently number one in the bookies odds. So I don't know how that's going to go, because I follow the bookies odds beforehand to try and get an idea of what's sort of doing well.
Okay.
And Croatia and a few other countries have been flip-flopping. Sort of the top five have moved all over the place, which isn't normal. Last year, the top two were like very solidly the top two.
Mm-hmm.
So at the moment, they're the favourites to win, I suppose.
Wow.
Which I love for Croatia, because like I feel like they're getting recognition for
for being a bit, yeah.
Yeah.
For being fun.
Yeah.
I can't remember where I've got it on my list. It kept getting knocked down, but I was enjoying it quite a lot. So yeah. Oh wow, it ended up being, but I think My top 5 and 10 are reasonably well considered, and then after that it's a bit of a mush, and I would have to go back, but I do support that.
Yeah.
I'm not sort of upset by that at all. Have you, or do you, get into the lyrics, as in, you know, because...
So I think bad lyrics are a plus,
yeah,
because number one, I'm like, he is writing in not his native language.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, meow cat, please meow back. Yes. But, like, okay, you can call it a bad lyric, but we all know it's not a bad lyric. No. We all know it's a great lyric.
This
to
is
open
indisputable.
Your song with, hey, I'm a big boy now. Like, iconic behaviour.
Okay, here we go. So my number one is Pedestal.
Too.
Oh my god, I'm so pleased.
I love Pedestal.
It's so good.
I don't understand why it's not getting more talked about. I think it's such a good song.
It's a really
it's
good
song. It's such a bop.
Yeah. And so this is Czechia by Aiko, I guess.
Yes.
I
know. And Czechia last year also sent a like all-girl song, but it was very girl power. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they've done the same thing this year. And I hope that it does well.
Yeah,
I'm a bit worried that it's gonna like just come very mid and therefore not score that many points, but mm-hmm. I just think it deserves it.
Yeah, it's got that kind of it's kind of a Paramore kind of a early mid 2000s power pop, or not power pop, but like kind of, you know, girl rock. It's just it's good. As soon as I heard it, I was like, this is legitimately, like, this is a good song, you know. So
yeah, but when I was listening to it, it really like stood out to me. Like,
and I love that there's a sort of a clip in the middle, which definitely sounds like it's an actual recording of a proper argument.
Yeah, I wonder how they're going to do the staging for it, because I do think that actually a lot of the vote does come down to the staging.
Yes,
and
because it's a good video.
Yeah.
But yeah, how, and actually you might know this, like, do the videos, because actually I probably not in this one, because it doesn't feel like this was made for Eurovision, because it came out
last year. I think have to be written for Eurovision. I think that's a rule,
right,
is my
okay.
understanding.
So in that case then, Do you know, is there much of a relationship between the music video and the staging?
Not usually. Yeah. I don't think there has to be. Like, yeah. Some of them, they'll wear the same outfits and stuff like that. So there are some, like, sneak peeks of the staging at the moment. We've got some videos of the dress rehearsals. And I think it's looking pretty good. So it's her kind of, and she's being, there's a really good point where she's, like, singing live and being lifted up by her dancers and, like, on her back, and it looks quite cool.
Yeah.
But
I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see it. And she looks really cool. I love her haircut and her weird makeup. It just looks great.
Fantastic. Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, this is very good. So that was your number two.
That was my number two.
What is your number three then?
My number three, which I kind of actually hope wins just because of the location, Europopper.
This, when I enjoyed it to begin with, it's going down, it keeps going down my list.
It does move down. This was originally number one for me.
Yeah.
Europopper. So it's Juiced and it's the Netherlands.
Yes.
And I kind of want them to win because I want to go to the Netherlands next year.
Yeah, it's fair enough.
I just love, like, I think it will do well because the first listen, it was great.
Yes, that's a good point.
And, like, it's the bit where it reaches the breakdown and he's like, "Welcome to Europe, jungen." Is my favourite bit of a song that I just think catches you and pulls you in so well. Yeah. And I love his whole vibe and the outfit. And I think that's the outfit he's wearing for the stage. Was Europopper on your list?
It is further down. In fact, it's number eight. So there you go. It probably would have made an honourable mention.
Yeah.
But it started to slip when I started listening to it again. But I think you make a very good point that, it's what catches people that first time.
Yeah. I think I over-listened to it. Because when I first listened to it, or when I first listened to all the songs, it stood out to me. And that's the one I listened to, like, on repeat, because I was like, this is a party tune, and I still think it's going to be a party tune, and I can't wait to dance to it and scream along. And I think it's going to be great, but I probably will not listen to it again once the final's over. Yeah. The thing is if it ever comes on in a bar, I'll lose my mind.
Yes,
but other
of course.
Than that, I'm probably not listening to it again.
So my number two is I think Ireland came to play this year.
Ireland's on my list.
Yeah. This is Doomsday Blue by Bambi Thug. So I listened to this on a walk, and the second verse is scary. Like, it frightened me.
Yeah.
The production on it, the voicing, the way they've done the voicing on it. It was a weird and unsettling thing to listen to whilst on a walk as the sun was beginning to set. I love it. I love that they've swung for the fences on this one. They really have.
Sure.
It's such a contrast between the sort of shouty, quite aggressive, scary verses, and then this kind of quite, not exactly bland, but much more chilled chorus. And I like the lyrics. Again, good video. Ireland. Who knew? Like, they've brung it this time.
Yeah. So I would also love Ireland to win because
cheaper flight.
One, cheaper flight, but two, so Ireland and Sweden are currently joint place for the most wins with seven. Sweden won last year. I think it would be very funny for Ireland to win and take back their lead of the most wins. And they haven't won in such a long time that
So funnily enough, so with the Ireland connection, and we'll see whether this impacts your list or, whether we discuss it, but there is a plot line in an episode of Father Ted.
Based on the real thing.
Is it really?
Well, they won 3 years in a row in the 90s. Yeah. Oh, but not the horse, yes.
No, yeah, not the horse so much. But the whole point being that the judges pick My Lovely Horse, a notably terribly performed song, because they know that they won't win, and so Ireland won't have to stage Eurovision again.
Yeah.
Which is what I think Sweden have done this year.
So, weirdly, people like Sweden's entry, and I just find it so unbelievably bland.
So funnily enough, it's called Unforgettable, and I find it completely forgettable.
It's so forgettable, so. No, I agree. I don't think Sweden want to host again, and I think they've entered a pretty mid entry.
Yeah.
So that they won't have to host again.
Yeah, that's the good. Good. We have an accord on that score. What's next on your list?
Next. Oh, right. Okay. This is a very long title, and it's very difficult to read.
Okay.
Nendest nar kuti kumdidest etimi five minst and poop. It's from Estonia.
So what's doing it for you with this one?
Ooh, de bada bada. That's what's doing it for me. I cannot wait to dance to this. It grew on me. Like, when I first listened to it, I couldn't tell what was what, because it's a very strange song, I feel, that has different parts. And there's no, I don't know which bit is the chorus. It's all the chorus, as far as I'm concerned.
It's all the best bit.
Yeah, like, I feel like it's a really good song to dance and sing along to.
Mm.
But also, number one, I really love songs that are done in their native language, mm-hmm. especially like smaller countries like Estonia, where it's like a lot of small countries tend to enter songs in English, and they tend to enter relatively sort of safe or blander things sometimes.
Yes, and this is a thing I remember from my youth watching Eurovision as a kid, is that never used to be the case. And I remember Malta being one of the exceptions, that Malta would often submit an English language song where most other countries wouldn't. And obviously over the years, with just globalisation, that's crept in.
Yeah, so I feel like having a native language song I really like, and so they're playing native Estonian instruments in it, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
And I like that it reminds me a lot of Ukraine's song from a couple of years ago, where it's like a party song in their native language with like instruments that are native to their country, that you get to learn a little bit about them and have a good time. I love it. Like, I can't stop singing it. I don't know any of the words or what they mean. Well, I've looked it up since, and the title of the song, I think, is "We Don't Know Anything About These Narcotics." And it's a song where the lyrics are just them being like, "We don't do drugs," while describing all of the different drugs that they do not do.
They don't do.
Which amazing. I find very charming.
Yeah. This one, I feel like I have to justify it.
Which number is this for you?
So this is going to be number three.
Okay.
The first time I listened to it, I was like, okay, this is good. Second time, and I wasn't really paying attention to the video, but I was watching it with the video. I was like, actually, this is going up my list. And it's The Code by Nemo. So this is Switzerland's entry.
Code, mm-hmm. and it is currently, for a long time, it was the bookies number one, and it's been switched with Croatia. I think it's probably between them two.
Right.
It just didn't catch me on a first listen, particularly. Yeah.
I don't know why the second time it really started to get in, to borrow its way in, because you've got a lot of different vocals happening by this same person. You've got, I think it's the same person, rap, kind of an operatic style.
Yeah.
And I was as we say, here for it.
Yeah.
Upon a re-listen. So yeah, it's one of those. I think it's catchy enough. It's kind of, you know, got a cute chorus with the like, it's nice and fun, and you can.
I think it is going to do really well, and I do like it.
Yeah. But I know what you mean. I can. This is why I was like a little bit like, it does feel in some ways there's a blandness to it, but also it's sticking. There's something that's burrowing its way into my brain. So.
Yeah, I feel like there's two types of Eurovision fans.
Right.
There's people like me who.
And then there's people like you.
Yeah, and then there's people like you. And you're wrong, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, I feel like. So I met a guy in a different office to me who's also traveling to Sweden for Eurovision.
Oh, cool.
And his favorite song is The Code.
Yeah.
And he is like a diehard Eurovision fan.
Okay.
And I think The Code is for Eurovision fans who are like, they're there for the songs, like serious, good songs.
Sure.
And they respect Eurovision.
Okay.
I love Eurovision, but I don't necessarily feel like it produces the best songs of all time. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I'm there for the vibes and I'm there for the party.
Yes.
I'm not there for
the edification absolutely. I think that is the correct way to consume Eurovision.
The Code was on my special mentions, so cool. I do like it.
I feel somewhat vindicated. What's next for you?
So I feel like I also have to explain this song. This is a cheesy song, but I love it, and I feel like it's Eurovision. It's One Mil Kali, One Blood by Electric Fields, Australia's entry.
Yeah.
I really like that they've got the didgeridoo in there.
Yeah.
And I really like that they've got some, like, Aboriginal Australian language in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that Australia has sent that. And I feel like it's so essence of Eurovision. Like, it's a nice little catchy bop.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it represents their country in an interesting way, where you learn more about the country.
Yeah.
Just from sort of Googling the performance. Like, I had to Google sort of, because it's got obviously a native language in there. And I was like, oh, I don't know what that is. And then I learned more about that. And I just think that's the kind of thing that Eurovision is about.
That's what it's good for.
And it's kind of similar to why I like Estonia's, I guess. But I guess Electric Fields is a little more sort of poppy, what you'd hear on the radio, but not in a bad way.
Yeah. No, I don't think that choice needs justifying. I think it's cheesy, but it's uplifting, and it's... I enjoyed that this morning while I was cleaning out my cat litter boxes.
Yeah.
So I support this choice. I'm gonna go. So my number four is I don't know if it's Jacko or Yakko, which is Armenia's entry. So you were talking about, you know, native instruments and that kind of stuff, and they just absolutely had that feel.
Yeah.
There's a slight mania to this one.
Yeah.
Because it really is going. It's going at you. And it's looking at the video, it felt kind of, I don't know, it sounds a bit condescending to say, but like kind of grassroots and kind of like, it didn't, like, it's a well-made video, but it didn't feel like they've, you know, they haven't gone full Electric Light Show and all that kind of stuff. They've just gone
authentic,
like, it does. Yeah. And I enjoyed it because it's just, it is a bit more like, it's definitely caffeinated.
Yeah.
It's up there, but like I dig the energy and I dig the sort of, there is an ethnic kind of feel to it in a very ignorant kind of UK-centric way. It feels, I don't know what this is, it feels ethnic.
Yeah.
It feels authentic. Authentically what? I don't know. But I can really feel the terroir in this one. But yeah, I enjoyed it. So yeah, that is my...
Yeah, I really like that one. And to be honest, that was close to the top of my list before, because I wasn't like, it's really hard to pick.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another similar one from Greece.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this year there's a lot of like pop girlies doing something a little bit different. And I worry that they're all going to get mixed in together. But I agree that that is the best one from that group of similar-ish entries.
Yes.
But that's why it didn't kind of go higher, because I felt like it's difficult to decide between them sometimes.
One more pick from you then. What would it be?
Okay. Now, this morning I've watched Ollie Alexander's staging for Dizzy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so gay, and it looks amazing. When I first heard the song, I was a little bit disappointed, because when I heard Ollie Alexander was representing the UK, I was like, yes, we're for sure going to be top three, to the point where I put top three, UK top three, on my 2024 bingo card for the year.
Okay.
When I heard Ollie Alexander was representing us. And then I heard the song and I was a little bit like, oh, it's kind of just a standard pop song. But then I've seen the staging and part of the live performance, and I think it brings it up a notch. Like, okay, it looks a lot better. And it, like, I don't particularly like the music video.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like maybe, I don't know if it's the production that makes it sound a bit flat, but it just looks so much better live. And I just find Ollie very charming. I like him a lot. And that's all I've got to say on the matter.
That's fair enough. I listened to it, and it was part of that. There is a long tail of tracks that really kind of just washed over me.
Yeah.
And that was one that just, it didn't have any friction. It just didn't stick at all. And I was just like, okay. And it, you know, because I went in listening to these without knowing who the countries were and stuff. And so, like, I tried, you know, not to remain biased, because I was like, if I know it's Sweden, I'm probably going to want to like it more. So I'm kind of glad that I didn't know it was Sweden first. And you know, with a couple of those. And that one, I was just, oh, okay, that was the UK's entry. All right, well.
Yeah. I'm getting more and more hopeful that it's going to do well.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm delusional. I think if we're not on the left half of a board.
Yeah. You'll be surprised.
I'd be surprised.
Okay. Oh, so Kat, we come to my number five.
Okay. Should I be nervous?
I hope I know you well enough to think you'll support this choice. But also, who knows? I've gone for No Rules by Windows 95, man.
No Rules, yeah. Hell yeah.
It's a song that opens with something along the lines of, I am Windows 95.
Yeah, I am Windows 95, man.
Yeah. Again, like, I listened to this without watching the music video, and then I watched the music video, and I was even more in the bag for it.
Yeah.
Than before. Watching the music video bumped it up my list. It was going to not make my top five. And then I watched the music video, and I was, oh, no, it's not the actual, like, it was, I'm guessing it was the video of the staging of
the competition, like, in their country.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A Song for Finland or whatever it would be. Yeah. That's going to be a fun staging.
I'm so sad it's not in the semi-final I'm going to see. It's my biggest disappointment, because I want to see what he's wearing. Is he wearing anything under there?
We looked. We Zabruta filmed the package, as it were, and he has got some sort of flesh coloured little
trousers, little nude pants,
protuberance. A modesty cover, but I mean, you've got a man with a pixelated Windows 95 t-shirt. You've got a man dressed in like bits of Windows logo, effectively, like bird plumage. I mean, it's just, what more could you want?
My favourite bit is as it ramps up to the like climax of the song, the eagle sound effect they just play halfway through. For what reason? No one knows, but I love it.
Why? There are no rules.
Yeah, no. I agree. It's not as far off on my list.
Yeah.
Because I had too many novelty songs. And I was worried I'd have too many novelty songs.
Yeah, I came at it from the opposite direction. I was like, I have to have one in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, this is traditionally the part of the Eurovision celebrations where we all take a break and we all go and vote. There'll now be a retrospective on Eurovision's past, followed by a pop star that you forgot existed that was really popular in the UK for 6 months and then has become adopted by the host city as their favourite person. Okay, so this is Kat Turner and Eurovision, and I am back in the steel bunker to have a little chat with you. This was so much fun to put together, and I'm very much looking forward to doing this every year and properly getting into the spirit of it, because it's just the best, isn't it? Now, if you want to get more of this, if you want to hear my quiz that I hastily put together for Kat as I was sat on her sofa about Eurovision, or if you want to just support the show and, you know, put your sort of £2 worth in to say, hey, I appreciate what you're doing, this is nice. We are in an economy where podcasts like this do not survive on advertising. And so it's just a way for me to pay the bills and for you to show me that you love me. So if you want to do that, listenvypod.com/plus is the place to go. listenvypod.com/plus, and for just £2 a month, or around $2 and something a month, you can support the show, and every week you get a little bit extra show as my way of saying thank you to you for saying thank you to me. So what have we got coming up then? We have got... So we've had a returning guest in Kat, and next week we have another returning guest. It's actually... John Barnes is coming back. We're going to be talking about 70s... Well, we talked about 70s sitcoms before. We're now going to be talking about 80s sitcoms. John was the first person I recorded a List Envy episode with, and so it's lovely to bring him back. And then after that, we are going to be going to our top five haunted locations, and then staying in that kind of creepy vibe, we're going to be talking about the top five films that give us the creeps. And then it gets a lot more wholesome from there. So stay subscribed. And if you are not already subscribed, listenvpod.com has the ways that you can do that. A very easy way to follow the show and make sure you don't miss an episode is to pop in your email address. And every Tuesday, I'll email you the latest episode, so you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to think, what app should I use or whatever. No, not a problem. You just get it emailed to you every Tuesday. So I suggest doing that. It's a good way to stay with the show. And speaking of the show, let's get back to it then. We have got an important job to do. We've got to put our top five list of songs together. So let's get back into it.
I'm looking at a provisional top five here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll see how this lands with you from five to one.
Okay.
I have gone with No Rules at number five.
Yeah.
The Code at number four.
Okay.
Doomsday Blue.
Mm-hmm.
Rim Tim.
Mm-hmm.
And then Pedestal. How do you feel about that?
Do we need to make some adjustments?
Oh, no, but we could. Mm. Let's replace No Rules with Europapa.
Yeah.
I think it should be in there.
I feel like Europapa has to be in there because I feel like it's the song of the
Yeah.
I feel like it's the song most fans are going to be singing when walking around Eurovision Village.
Yeah.
Yes. Fantastic. So that's in number five. So here we go. From five to one. Europopper, The Code, Doomsday Blue, Rim Tim Taggy Dim, Pedestal.
That, I think that's perfect.
I will ask you formally then, Kat Turner, do you consent to this list?
I do consent to this list.
So I had some honourable mentions. Were there any others that didn't make your top five that we haven't discussed?
I like La Noia from Italy.
Yep.
But I don't have very much to say about it, to be honest. Yeah. It's a nice little song.
Nice little song. Yeah, yeah. I had, coming in at number six for me was 11-11, which was Sam Marino's song.
I just felt like that was Pedestal, but worse. And for that reason, I knocked it much further down.
Yeah, that's, I think, yeah, I think I heard it before I heard Pedestal.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's what sort of where
just,
it ended up.
Pedestal
yeah.
just does it so much better, but it makes it look 11-11 look bad by comparison, in my opinion.
That's why, because it was further up my list, and I was like, actually, they're too similar.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're right. Yeah, I had One Mil Carly as my number seven, Europapa. In the middle, by Natalia Barbu, that was Moldova's. Always on the Run for Germany was...
I have a feeling Germany will still be coming last. But
okay. Yeah, yeah.
I think it's a fine pop song, but I think it's so bland that it's going to come like 15th place for everyone and so getting 0 points. Like.
Yeah, the rest of these, for me, it is just... It feels like we've got some that are dark... We've got a few that are quite dark.
Mm.
We've got a few tossed in novelty songs, but not as many as it feels like they used to be.
Yeah.
And I've got room for more. And then the rest just feel really just all the same kind of low density, kind of sparse, synthy, kind of just... bland, forgettable.
Yeah,
mush.
It feels like a lot of people are not trying to win, which fair
lots
enough.
Of places have had it tough and they can't think about hosting. Yeah, so let's just throw that in. Yeah. But yeah, I'm hoping then with, I mean, how many songs end up in the, is it always the same number that end up in the final?
I think
it's like 12 or is it, no, it's more than that.
I think
it?
It's more than that. Yeah. I think it's something like 20 plus.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's actually relatively few that are knocked out of a semi-final.
Oh, really?
I don't think it's that many.
Well, yeah, I mean, because there's only, what, is it 36 or 30-something? Yeah.
But then you've also got the five
who automatically
get through, so they're not at the semis.
Yeah. Kat, this has been an absolute pleasure and a privilege. And I'm very... I was a little bit trepidatious going into this. I feared the judgment. I feel like I've come out relatively unscathed.
Yeah,
so I thank you.
There's
for
no
that.
Portugal fiasco.
No, you're never going to let me forget that. That's fair enough. I will wear that badge of shame. Are you doing things that the listener can follow you and keep up with you on?
No.
No.
No one follows me. No one get to know me.
You will remain an enigma.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll do this again next year then.
Yes. So, oh, yeah, that would be fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I've already got it planned. Like,
okay,
I want to do this every year. Absolutely.
Excellent. I love that. Okay, cool.
Kat, thank you very much for joining me on List Envy, and have a wonderful time in Malmo.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.